Mississippi here for episode one of the Hallyu Wave, and we're kicking off the show with a lot of excitement. We've got three music video reviews for Psy's Gangnam Style, Wonder Girls Like Money, and then Glam, new group with their song Party XXO. But first, let me introduce you to Sanjo-chan. She is the writer and creator of Sintakume, which is an awesome blog that covers a lot. Gaming, anime, general geekery, and she's here with us because of her expertise in K-pop as one of the people that actually introduced me to K-pop. So say hello, Sanjo.
Hello.
Hey. So in episode zero, I talked a little about myself and getting into K-pop, but just tell a little about your history with K-pop, you know, like how you first got into it, when you first got into it, stuff like that.
Okay, it started with a show on the now-gone international channel called Revolution. I watched it for the purpose of watching J-pop music videos, but it wasn't the only thing they showed on there. They also showed Korean music videos. So I decided to watch a few, and I was convinced and said, okay, this isn't bad, because I didn't expect to get pulled into any other Asian music other than J-pop at the time. So after a few videos, there was one video that started it all, which was Rain's I Do, which is from his third album. And after that, I took in more and more and more, and all because of that show, I discovered Shinhwa and G.O.D. and a little bit of H.O.T. And this is where I am now. And that was back in 2004, I believe.
Oh, very cool. So, yeah, I mean, for a lot of us now, like myself, that just got into it in the last 2 years, I mean, that's kind of old school K-pop.
Mm-hmm, yep.
I kind of feel like you said you didn't really think you'd get into another form of Asian music, and I'm like, little did you know that now it would dominate your music interests.
Yes, actually, because of K-pop, I don't follow J-pop as much as I used to, but, you know, it's actually because of them, and most of the artists, they've been making their debut in Japan, it's helping me, you know, go back a little, but it's still going to be Korean for a while, it seems.
Yeah, well, and I totally understand, because, you know, with, I know you listen to, because I do the radio show Tokyo Tower, and I know you listen in. So even for me, with K-pop now being so much of an interest, it's hard balancing out J-pop, which in some ways is so varied, and while K-pop itself is varied, at the same time, it's just a whole different medium, and once you really get into K-pop, it's like you're trapped, like tractor beam pulled in, so. But, yep, well, cool. Well, thank you again for being here. And depending on Sanjo-chan's schedule, I'm sure we'll have her back a lot because, yay, you know a lot about K-pop and you're just exciting to talk to. Anyways, mm-hmm. So happy to have you here.
Glad to be here. Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Right, well, this week we are going to review, we're kind of just testing out our format, it may change, but we're going to review three music videos / singles, so we'll talk about the song itself too and the music video, probably dominating the conversation. We're going to start with Psy's Gangnam Style. Now, you know a little more about Psy than I do, Sanjo-chan. So is there anything that you can say, like just to his background, like from how he started to now?
Well, I didn't know much about him until he was signed with YG. It was about 2 years ago. I knew that he was in trouble for, you know, he had issues like similar to G-Dragon's incident last year, and
yes.
he fell out of the spotlight, and then yeah. He made a comeback with Champion, which was about several years back, maybe about 2005. I'm a little fussy on that.
Because you're referring to G-Dragon's, like, marijuana, was that marijuana incident? And yeah, they take drugs seriously. But so basically, Psy was kind of an independent artist and then, you know, got with YG, and now he's kind of become more mainstream every year, it seems.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, we are reviewing today his latest track called Gangnam Style. And I looked it up, and Gangnam, which I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing correctly, but I think I am, is basically just kind of a local part of Seoul. I guess it's not like a city, but it's kind of a district of Seoul.
Yeah, like a suburb of Seoul. Yeah.
So I don't know what that has to do with the style, because, I mean, just right off the bat, the music video is insane, but kind of awesome in the same way, because, like, I heard Psy, you know, pretty much created a lot of this on his own, from the singing to the choreography, and the key part of the choreography is basically a horse dancing, or acting like you're a horse, and I don't know if that's Gangnam style, but maybe now it is, thanks to Psy.
Now it reminds me of, I guess the song Gangnam Style is like something that you do, you know, normally do in town, which is like, I know I've heard Osaka, going off topic a bit, Osaka, I know there's different cultural differences, you know, in different parts of, you know, the country. Like, I know New York has a thing and Los Angeles has a thing, and I guess that's what the song is portraying. But I've also heard that the song's lyrics has something to do with the music video. That's what I've heard. But yeah, it's Psy's overactive imagination.
Yeah, I want to live in Psy's head just for a day to see all the craziness. Because I first learned about Psy thanks to DJ Masa using him in one of his mashups, and checked out the video, and it was just a lot of fun. And I should honestly be able to remember what the song is. I guess it was Right Now. And I love kind of the version where basically the whole city is just exploding, kind of addictive, you know, with the song they're listening to. And this is kind of the same way. It's very much more choreographed. Like, it doesn't look like spontaneous dancing. But I mean, he's horse dancing everywhere around, I guess, you know, the city. He's at the same time doing all this craziness. My favorite part, maybe, when the elevator opens and you have the guy dancing above Psy in the elevator and it just closes and you're like, did that just happen?
It did. I was pretty shocked too. Like, what?
Yeah. Well, and I guess I forgot about this too, but there's that scene too where you see him singing and then the camera pans out and you realize he's been on a toilet this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I guess your thoughts. What do you think about either the song or the video itself?
The song, I don't know. I know you're trying to avoid going to similarities, but it reminds me a bit of maybe a crossover between I Am the Best and Fantastic Baby. Maybe it's the same mixture of it, but that's what the song reminds me of at some points. But I guess that's a trend with new K-pop songs, especially from YG. But as for the video, it's, I don't know, it's confusing at first, but I had to watch it multiple times to understand it, especially when there's like two guests in a video. This is a guy who's in a yellow suit. He's actually an MC of a popular show, like Running Man. His name is UJ Suk, and he's seen, you know, you see him dancing with Psy, and then he drives off.
Yeah, that part, and because in the video at the end too, he's kind of continuing, I guess, what looks like the dance battle. And yeah, I thought that part was really funny.
And also, Hyuna is also in the video, in the middle of the video too. And I was surprised too. You know, a lot of music videos, you know, there's some people you never expect to see in it.
Yeah, I think it works for, just to that point, I think it works for Psy's style, because as kind of an MC, rapper, singer, I mean, like, we're not, you know, reviewing his mini album, but, I mean, he pretty much had a guest on almost every single song, so to, you know, get these popular people into his music video just kind of makes sense. Although, at the same time, I will say, big fan of 4 Minute. Love Huna, but I think that it was just so weird. Like, she looked so makeup up to me that I was taking like her look and volume up. But I'm like, but you're supposed to be out on the street casual, and you look like you're made to be like, I don't know. But it was still very, like, you could tell she was having a great time, and all the people on that set, except for maybe the two models that had to walk out of the tunnel with all the stuff flying in their face, which is very early on in the video if you check it out. But I'm like, I think everybody except maybe them had a fantastic time doing this. So, I will say, and going back to your comparisons to other YG songs, I totally think, one, it's totally fair to review with comparisons, especially since I'm gonna do it here in a couple tracks. But I think, with K-pop, it's good to kind of be like, oh, it's like this song, because one, others will be like, oh yeah, that's so true, or they can actually check out the song and then find that to be their liking. But what I was gonna say is some element of this, and I don't even remember which part, but I have in my notes that it kind of reminded me. I think it's the bridge. There's this one part that reminds me of something G-Dragon does in Hi Hi, and it's this specific rap sequence, and I immediately thought of that. I guess it's, yeah, like 2/3 of the way through the song, and that kind of immediately caught my ear.
So true.
Yep. But yeah, so overall, is this like a single that you would find yourself listening to, or a music video you'd watch again?
Both, I'd watch it and listen to it again.
Yeah, I agree. I think two of these songs for me that we're doing, Glam's Party included, are just very fun, kind of upbeat songs, and I feel that's what summer tends to produce, especially, I mean, American pop, but Korean and Japanese pop as well. And so, yeah, I feel the video I have to watch, yeah, like you said, just to kind of get the little nuances of the craziness that is Psy's mind. But for the song, it's just really kind of addicting to the ear as well. So, yeah, I'll definitely be checking out again. This one's gonna be a fascinating conversation for me, because I'm not sure if maybe I have differing opinions, but we will see. But we're gonna talk about Wonder Girls' newest song. It's called Like Money. If you don't know who the Wonder Girls are, they started in 2007 with JYP. They had some early member changes, but for now they're a pretty secure group, and they've been very popular, not just in Korea, but in the United States as well, touring first with the Jonas Brothers and then touring on their own after that. And if you listen to episode 0, you may remember that I got the chance to actually see them, which was amazing. So admittedly, I was kind of a fan early on, but now they've released their fourth English single, their second digital single, Like Money. And we first saw a little of Like Money in the Nickelodeon made-for-TV movie, The Wonder Girls. Did you remember that scene?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What'd you think of it? Because I mean, we pretty much knew that song was gonna come out. So what'd you think when you just heard that tease in that dance scene in the movie?
That they were planning it all along, because I'm impressed with the video, actually, because it's like they're gonna do it, because it looks like they're gonna do it. Actually succeed it, and it's not like their previous songs, but when the girls' earlier songs are have this theme, retro theme, like Tell Me has maybe like a early 90s theme, and then Nobody, which
Yeah, Nobody was almost like 60. It's like doo-wop. Like, if you change them with, oh man, I don't even remember any of the good. Like, the Supremes. They look like they're dressed like the Supremes from the
yes.
1960s or 50s. So, yeah, to talk about the music video a bit, it kind of starts out as if you've almost found this archival footage, is how I got it. And like you put it in this computer and it's like translation to English. And so, you see it's like we've built the best, they're, the best girls that, they can be. And then you cut to this remote, almost like moon, and this small area that reminds me of, you've seen Tron, kind of the home base, for the humans in the new Tron movie, I mean. And they're just kind of dancing there, but they're supposed to be robots, so they keep cutting away to them either being made as robots or, I mean, it's very, very sci-fi.
And
So.
the lyrics too is, if they're robots, it's like it's saying like, don't treat me differently.
Yeah. Oh, and see, that's interesting to me, 'cause I'll be honest, like I like the song. I think that it's very, since it is catering not just to the Korean audience, but the American European audience, I think it fits very well with the pop style. But I will say that for me, like one benefit I feel I have with K-pop and J-pop is that I don't know what the lyrics are, so it was a bit too, I don't know, like love me like money, it's repetitive, not that that's necessarily bad, but it's just, I don't even know what to say to that. But
It's too plain, I guess. Nothing special, I guess.
Yeah, that could be it. And again, I mean, a lot of dance music's like that, so I'm not really sure, if that's what my issue is. And still, I like the song. It's just, I guess, love me like money, love me like cars. I'm like, to me, I'm like, well, so love me like money, is that like a temporary thing? Like you have money, then you don't, like cars, like I don't know. I'm almost getting like feminist, like mental images here. And that was actually kind of what was an issue for me with the music video. Like normally I love like sci-fi stuff. I think their outfits for the most part look pretty cool. But the whole like translation to English, and then these Korean girls are robots, it almost seemed forced, like we're not making the girls seem human and that they're skillful on their own, but we had to make them be robots, which is the only way that we would be impressed with Korean artist. It's like, oh, to bring this element of pseudo technology in there. And at the same time, I felt too, I'm like, love me like diamonds, they're like, love me like I'm real, love me, like I'm more than anything you've loved before. But I'm like, but you're being portrayed as a robot, so you're not being portrayed very human. But your take on it, I'll say, Sanju, is just totally like, I never thought about that whole, like maybe I'm a robot, but I still have feelings, emotions, and all that. So I didn't even think about that. So that kind of changes my mind a little bit there.
Also, to comment also on this video and their previous Korean one like this, I noticed the goal of their that's videos like, it's I find it very old school because you have everyone just breaking into random dance and then, they're, if I remember the lyrics, it's probably on par with what the song's about, but that song could be easily translate to English and people will, enjoy it for a while, outside of Korea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I think both this and like this do have kind of a similar feel in their song, and I feel they both sound more like what I'm used to with American pop, and less what I'm used to with the Wonder Girls. Not that that's a bad thing. I love, how artists mature, and so I think it works for them. But you're right. I mean, they totally kind of like this. I want to know the English version, and at this point I'm so addicted, you could have really dumb lyrics and I wouldn't care, because like this is just too much of a fun song for me not to, listen to it.
And also, since both songs start with like, I wonder if there will be a third song that will be both in English and Korean. That would be interesting.
Oh, that would be interesting. We should tell JYP about that. Well, I guess any final thoughts? Like, is this, I guess kind of like with size, is this song gonna be added to your playlist regularly? And do you see yourself kind of watching this a lot in the future, or is this kind of maybe enjoy it for a while and wait for the next Wonder Girls track?
It's a song to enjoy for a while, but the music video, it would be an occasional thing because, I don't know, I conflicted between both songs. I like the music video for like this, but this one's good too, but I think it's good for listening for a while, but.
Yeah, I think for me, I kind of agree. I've definitely got the song on fairly regular rotation listening to it. But one, the music video is kind of long. I mean, it's got a long intro to it. So unless they do a dance version, which I would like to see because I like the dance, but you don't see it as well. And I feel their outfit, except for the silvery outfit, the other one kind of makes them all look the same, even to people that follow the Wonder Girls. I feel it makes it a little more difficult. So yeah, song yes for me, video not so much.
Can I kiss a baby girl? You know that the middle of one, no more mother, no more to the beautiful small.
내가 남자, 여자, 난 상관없어.
열정의 king,
뜨거운 가슴이 ID.
혼자라면 여기를 와, 너의 뜨거운 심장에 널 떡으로 부어.
All right. Well, now our last music video that we're going to highlight. This is Glam is the artist, and they are a new girl group, and they are from Big Hit Entertainment, and it's a five-member girl group, and Glam stands for Girls Be Ambitious, and they're supposed to not be quote-unquote your run-of-the-mill K-pop stars. They're supposed to sing, dance, play instruments, and basically just be this new evolution of K-pop. First of all, though, I want to say we hear that a lot. But just going into it, I really liked the music video, especially, and the song. Do you think Sandrew Chan, having listened to K-pop as long as you have, that just right off, do you think Glam's going to be this, exciting wave, I guess, that, Big Hit Entertainment wants them to be, or? Is the jury still out on that? Do you think we'll still have to kind of take some time?
I think we'll have to take some time on this group, as there's another group. I know there's a few girl groups that has been promised that, but it takes them at least maybe three releases to get to improve. And this one, I like the video myself, but the song, is kind of, repetitive. You've heard the same thing from other groups, but it's nothing new.
Just to kind of introduce the video then is because it starts off and it's very hard to summarize this the same as we can't really summarize size, but you start off they look like it's just the two rappers are in a high school and they're kind of rapping along, and then at some point it kind of breaks out into the street scene, and basically they call this massive dance. In the middle of that though, you have a girl resting on a cloud that is above what appears to be a cup of coffee. You have one girl bicycling, with balloons. You have the random gingerbread man, I think, from Shrek, apparently, just running in the high school and in the party. So it's kind of very a lot of things going on, very crazy. But for me, yeah, that sold me on the music video. Like, I was so entertained. I'm like, there's so many silly things. Like, did you notice, like, early on in the high school, it looks like there's, like, a firefighter or something, like, just right in kind of the background as the rappers are turning the corner? I'm like, where did they just go? I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I also noticed that they use foreign actors in a few of the scenes, which is also, a trend, especially for groups that will likely break into the foreign market outside of Asia.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you bring up a good point because I feel in a lot of ways they are priming themselves. I mean, just with the opening and ending scene where you see the astronaut on the moon, kind of looking out and like seeing Glam, just kind of that's the beginning. And then at the end, you see like all these different cities and kind of what is it, a rocket I guess, kind of going through all the cities, and you know, I recognize some of those. Like one of them is like Tokyo. I think one of them was New York. I wasn't totally positive. It might have been a different angle than I'm used to, but it did seem like they're saying, "Hey, you know, we're starting the party here, but we're, you know, going worldwide soon."
That's a good thing to think about.
Well, and yeah, I mean, with groups like Wonder Girls, 21, Big Bang, all doing, you know, worldwide tours. I mean, everybody's got to step it up, it seems. So, as for the song, did you not feel like this was my opinion, but did it not seem like the opening was so much like Mirio, like with her songs of late, especially on her solo album? I mean, even the way the girl looked kind of reminded me of like a younger version of Mirio from Brown Eyed Girls.
Actually it does, because especially the Muriel's video, I know it's a little, oh, it raises your eyebrows, but this could be, you know, like a lightened, toned down version of that if she was so Muriel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's got some years on her to get, you know, as awesome as Mirio is. But especially with, I don't even remember the first music video that Mirio came out with. I guess it was Dirty for her solo. That whenever we play it at conventions too, or for our friends that don't listen to K-pop as much, I know I always hear like, "Oh, that's like Nicki Minaj. It's like the Korean or Asian Nicki Minaj." And the opening for Party XXO felt very much like Nicki Minaj as well, in the same way that Mirio's kind of mirrors, I guess, that same rapping style. And then I thought what was interesting is, because K-pop does this really well, is so you take the rap and then you take kind of the pop. And so I felt if the opening was a Nicki Minaj song, that the chorus was very much like a Katy Perry track. So if you've never listened to any K-pop before and you're, you know, still this far into our podcast, and you like those two artists, then you'll probably like this song.
I also noticed that some songs have this new jack quality to it. This is with the male groups. You know, New Jack is, you know, let's say Keith Sweat and Guy. You know how back in the late 80s, a lot of songs they have smooth R&B vocals and then they break into a rap, which is pretty much like they're going back to it nowadays, which makes me
Oh
happy.
yeah. Yeah, I feel in a lot of ways, I mean, K-pop kind of is the newest field of R&B that's exploring a lot, but at the same time it's kind of going back to these R&B roots. So yeah, you're right. I wouldn't even thought of that like that way. But yeah, I kind of get what you mean. So I want to end by saying one last thing about the music video though, and anytime girls are playing video games, everybody wins.
Yes, I do.
Yes, so I thought that was an awesome choice, and I think they were even playing console games, and Eat Your Kimchi just happened to release something, which of course they're not, you know, the end all buy all to everything Korean knowledge, but they are very awesome, and they've lived there for like 3 years, but I know console games aren't nearly as huge as arcade games are, so it was kind of interesting to see that. I want to see K-pop stars battle each other in DDR. That's just me.
Or StarCraft, I know that's the biggest thing right now in Korea.
StarCraft is huge. But yes, that would be kind of awesome too. All right, so hope you enjoyed our segment reviewing the three music videos and singles. But now, something we're gonna do weekly is either focus on an album or a mini album, and kind of give it a more full review as much as possible. So we can talk about the music videos, but we can also talk about any singles that we like off of it, singles that we think might happen, or even B-sides, you know, lesser-known songs that we just really love. And this week we're starting it risky because elf fans are crazy. Not always in a bad way, though. And yeah, we're reviewing Super Junior's sixth full album, Sexy, Free, and Single. If you don't know Super Junior, they debuted under SM in 2005. They're known as having perhaps the most members of a current boy band group. Would that be wrong to say, Sanju?
Well, not anymore, because they've lost a lot of members. Well, not a lot. Well, they started with 13, but now they're at best 8 members, with one leaving for the army soon, and they just got one from the army, who's Kangin. And so, to me, it's not the biggest anymore.
Yeah.
With apologies to elves, I'm sorry. But, you know, at best, this is like another average number boy band, which, you originally see 5 members, was the original average, but now it seems like 7 members are popular, so it's not the biggest anymore.
Oh, yeah. Are all those members, not to delay from the album review, but are all those members that are missing in the army or in some transition state of going into their mandatory army service, or are some just no longer there?
There's a few who are no longer with the group, and there's also one still in the military, and one left to pursue an acting career, another one left to pursue a singing career in his home country. So everyone is going to go to the military eventually, but I don't see signs of any more members leaving for other reasons.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. And actually, I was surprised to see, I knew it was 6 albums, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot. But I was surprised to see they debuted in 2005. So they've already broken the 5-year curse. So way to go, Super Junior, on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So cool. But yes, let's get to the album Sexy, Free, and Single. And that's also the name of the first single, which I have to say, wasn't immediately as catchy, but totally grew on me, and I really, really like it, and almost feel it has more depth than some of their other songs, like Mr. Simple and Sorry Sorry, which are addictive, don't get me wrong, but I feel are more formulaic.
Mm-hmm, I agree. Also noticed that since the days of Sorry Sorry's, it seems like every other single that they have from their album has different opinions. Like Sorry Sorry, it was just, you know, the most talked about track of Super Junior, and you know, since their debut, they you know. And then you have Bonamana, who is the next song from Sorry Sorry, but I felt that it wasn't the best song, the best follow up to Sorry Sorry. And then you have Mr. Simple, which is, you know, it hovers above Bonamana and Sorry Sorry. And then you have Sexy, Free, and Single, which I thought was going to be the next Bonamana, but after giving it a few listens, it's actually different from all the previous 3 tracks.
Yeah, I just feel it's somewhat more subtle in its like ability to be an earworm, because I mean, yeah, Sorry Sorry, like, it just saying sorry it just kind of makes you want to just like keep on singing the rest of that. So, I mean, but those are very addicting, but, yeah, Sexy, Free, and Single. Who knows what, you know, I'm still confused why they won a bingo, but it's still very fun. So I guess, like you mentioned with Bonamana, is there another track then on this album that you either predict, or maybe you even know, maybe you've even read something that would be the next single?
Probably the next song would be the next Mr. Simple, but who knows? KSM, they're surprising people with different concept changes, especially like, let's say, Chinese Sherlock concept, totally different from previous album concepts.
Yeah. Well, I guess I mean specifically, like, is there one song you could point to on the album that you think would be the single that they'll go to? Or do you think they won't even do another single from the album and it'll have to be from something else entirely?
Yeah, I think it would be from something else entirely. But if to choose, I would choose, if I can pronounce it correctly, Bunging, or I guess it's Bumping, or Bopping. That's another addictive song, which is maybe like Mr. Simple, but, you know, it's totally different.
Yeah. Do you recall which track that was?
I'll have to pull it up, but it's like in between, like in the middle tracks of the album.
Well, while you do that, yeah, I will. So I wrote down some notes for specific ones, and I'll say, so what I don't always like about K-pop groups is they do what rap stars do a lot, and they're very self-referential, and it's okay to a little bit. To do that some, but I guess when I listen to a full album and they have like three or so tracks that are always talking about like Super Junior and stuff like that, I'm like, I get it. I know what the album is. I know who it came from. You don't have to keep saying your name. So that made me a little wary for a couple of tracks like Rockstar and even the second one, which I thought the second one was nice because they basically it starts out with like for the greatest fans in the world. And, you know, elves have to be going crazy when they hear that. But I was just like, okay, again, I got it. But I'm sure those tracks are particularly adored by the fans. What I really love, and if they do another single, I don't even think it's, yeah, typical of a Super Junior single, but my favorite song, even more than Sexy, Free, and Single, was track 3, and that was Now. And, Sanjo, I know we've talked about this a bit, kind of not while doing the podcast, but you know, you talk about how K-pop blends a lot of styles, and I felt like the beginning of Now started off almost like a musical, like you have these kind of unique voices rising together, and then it moves into rap, which is a little more, you know, common ground for K-pop. Then you have this, you know, good feeling chorus, like the Now It's Time to Fly. And it really sounded like almost like a 90s kind of light rock song, or maybe even like a Sheryl Crow kind of chorus. And I just love that song.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite track is also like the second track, which is To the Elves. But I've also heard mixed feelings because since there's a lot of differences between people who are fans of Super Junior and those who are not, you know, it's people refuse to listen to it, but I like the song, you know, as it is. You know, it's, I think the song is for everyone at best.
Yeah. I don't get into, yeah, especially if you're a K-pop fan in America and you see like Tumblr fan wars and whatnot, you know, I don't care for that regard. You know, like, I'm like, oh, well, I'm not an elf, so it doesn't speak to me. I guess just it didn't hook to me, but I feel even if, you know, whoever can like it, I feel it's like an extra special treat for elf. So it's, yeah, of course it'll be meant to be for everybody to some degree.
Mm-hmm. And also another thing about the album is the ballad tracks. Like, I know it's a lot of Super Junior songs, they don't sound R&B, but they do, especially Sexy, Free, and Single. I guess it's a hybrid of pop and R&B, but yeah. Besides like the two elf, the elf song is mostly like, you know, sounds more like hip hop and R&B, like or New Jack again. And then there's another track which is called Karabo, I guess. It's, you know, it's like a dance, more of a dance track mostly. And yeah. That's different.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, sorry, again, do you know what track number that was?
It's, 8.
Track okay, eight. Cool. Yeah, yeah, actually, I have that, basically, the chorus, if you've ever seen the anime Paprika, the chorus kind of reminded me of it.
Oh, yes.
So, I was like, wow, that's cool, and it... I mean, they talk about, like, some of the lyrics, let it boom, let it boom, let it bounce, and it was literally, like, a bouncy-feeling chorus. Like, I kind of imagine that in my mind while listening to it. And specifically, too, I don't know if you caught this, Sanjo-chan, but there's a part where they say, fly high up in the sky, And I was taken back again to GD and Top with High High. I'm like, I don't know if that's purposeful or if that's just something they like to put in a lot of K-pop songs, but I can't help but Now think of that song too.
And speaking of dance, right, besides Skullbird, the song I mentioned earlier is Babingu, or Butterfly, as the ninth track of the song. I also know it has a lot of auto-tune, which I know that a few Korean artists are picking up on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If Shiny's Lucifer would have never happened if it, you know, if I, sorry, if auto-tune didn't exist. So, but yeah, I'm a big fan of that track too. I give that 4 stars, because I kind of rate these as I go on iTunes, just to keep track. It's something I learned from Gaijin Hanpai. But basically, yeah, I have it kind of, it's an R&B kind of track, but it's got, it's ballady, but with a beat, and I like that. Mm-hmm. So, and then the last one that I really liked was, I guess maybe it was, Rockstar. I might be confused. There was just one on there that was just a lovely ballad. Like, normally I don't like ballads, but I could listen to that a lot. Just because it was very enjoyable. So, I guess, just kind of in summary, and deferring to your expertise, since you probably listen to a fair amount more Super Junior than I have, one, I want to say, how do you think it rates as an album in the Super Junior catalog? And two, would you recommend it to a fan of K-pop to start out with to learn about Super Junior?
Probably not an album to recommend. I would recommend Sorry Sorry, which I think was their breakthrough album in their whole the group's existence, but Sexy Friends single. That's an album I would recommend later. Because you know, it's probably not the best song, you know, for, you know, every day. Well, it's not the best song for, like, if you just get into K-pop, it would take time to grow into. But if you're willing to listen to a whole album, then I recommend it. But probably not immediately.
Yeah, I almost feel, again, not necessarily with the expertise of a Super Junior longtime fan, because I'm really just, yeah, since they became bigger with Sorry Sorry, I'm really just kind of caught up on their singles. But I'll say, in general, when starting to review this, compared to American albums and even like J-pop, J-rock albums, it feels so different to do it, because while K-pop still has these similar themes they go to, generally they don't release an album unless every track is, you know, really well crafted. Doesn't mean you have to like it, but, you know, they have something that they want to put towards, put together with that track. And so I'm like, it's hard, because I almost think for a new fan, it'd be better to do a mini album. But at the same time, if you introduce, you know, artist or a fan to, like, Hello for Shiny, and then you switch them to Sherlock for Shiny, they'd be like, wait, are these the same people? And so, because, you know, they keep trying to reinvent themselves, and 21 recently just, you know, basically said, we're always going to reinvent ourselves. So, like, is an album better to introduce a fan to a K-pop group, or is it a mini album, or is it a single? And so I don't know, but I figure that's something that we can kind of explore as this show keeps running.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for news. We don't have a lot of time. But we're going to pick one story this week, and I think this is a good story because it brings to light something that I've been trying to do even outside of this podcast, but I feel I can do more with this podcast, and that's really kind of bring attention to K-pop, not just to U.S. fans, but also talk about when K-pop comes to the U.S. Of course, we have 21 coming on a world tour, we have Big Bang coming on a world tour, but what do you know, Otakon, one of the biggest anime conventions in the United States and the biggest anime convention on the eastern side of the United States, just announced a K-pop guest, and it's VIX, who I admittedly know very little about, but Sanju, you say that's okay because they don't have many songs, right?
Yep, they only have 2 songs, and they made a debut in late May, which was one of the clues given of the guest.
Yeah, if you don't follow, I guess, Otakon on Facebook, or have friends who do, basically, Otakon was like, we're going to tease our Friday guests. And they made the K-pop part really obvious, And so I know Sanjo and myself and others, we were kind of, or at least I can speak for myself for sure, was kind of leaning towards it being 21 because it just seemed to fit. I mean, Spin.com happened to do an article about 21 calling themselves heroes the exact number of days before, but it turned out to be Vix. So, who knew?
Well, yeah, we're pretty short too. I wonder if they knew. No, I wonder if they did a lot of research beforehand. And I said, I wonder how many people are going to say it's this and it's actually this group instead, especially with 21 going, in the US very soon in about a few weeks. That would have been perfect timing because it would be exactly about 2 weeks before their first concert.
Yeah, you think that it could work out, but it didn't. They got Vix, and it's still cool because, as far as I'm aware, this is the first instance in the United States of a K-pop group going to an anime convention, which is usually, hallowed ground for J-pop and J-rock artists. So it's a big thing. Like, I kind of feel that when K-pop first went to Japan, and all the people in Japan are kind of like, "Whoa, this is our turf." That anime fans might feel the same.
But then when I think about it, maybe it's not so different because, like, let's say Middle Tennessee Anime Convention, they had one guess is it's not necessarily anime related, but it's something that fans can relate to because most of their songs are inspired by video games. And now with Fix, I do see there's some kind of similarities that would attract fans because their mascot is a Mecha, which is maybe a cross between a Gundam and a Voltron. So it's not so bad after all, but they shouldn't look the other way just because it's not related to what they're looking for.
I agree, and I think the whole point of our podcast is going to be, I mean, while we'll review stuff, have our own criticisms, of course for songs and music videos, but to really keep an open mind, because if that's what led me into like J-rock and loving J-rock so much, and a whole lot of J-pop, is that I went beyond liking anime opening and ending theme songs to realizing that there's a whole country's worth of music. And then when you, Sanjo, and other friends of ours basically just kind of, bubbled up with this K-pop effervescent, excitement, I couldn't not, I couldn't help but get on board, just because I'm always looking for awesome music everywhere. And I feel that K-pop is kind of the latest, greatest music, and that's why I decided to do this podcast. So, yes, fans, please, if you can, be open-minded.
Yes, please.
Yep, very cool. Well, that was the news for this week. Next week, we're gonna cover, some more music videos, do some more reviews, and we got BoA's music video, Only One, just came out. BAP came out recently with No Mercy. Brown Eyed Girls came out recently with their music video in Midsummer's Night Dream. And I'm really excited about this because I'm a fan of Beast, and it is the Midnight Sun, which is their fifth mini album. And I've only listened to the song they've released so far, so after this and after editing the show, I might just have to put that on and give it a listen. So, should be exciting. But yes, well, thank you, Sanjo-chan, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Yep, I enjoy being here, and thank you for allowing me to be a co-host.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure totally. You are much more wise on all things K-pop, and while I like to think I'm a quick learner, it's always good to learn even more. And so it's a great pleasure to have you. But yes, so thank you everyone for subscribing. We had a surprising amount of subscribers listen to episode 0, which is my podcast friends say is usually the episode that you never want anybody to hear again. So whoops, too late on that. And thank you for listening to episode 1 though. And the next episode will come out Tuesday. And so specifically, that would be Tuesday the 31st, so July 31st, 2012. If you'd like to follow us on the various social networking websites, you can. My Twitter is at Tokyo Tower, WAWL. You can follow Sanjo-chan at Sanjo_Chan. You can also find more about her and her writings for Sentakume on sentakume.info. That's Sentakume.info. You can also find us on Facebook, this podcast specifically at facebook.com/thehallyuwave. And perhaps most importantly, you can send us email. So if you have anything you would like to send, comments, suggestions, or even audio clips that you would like to share, you can do that as well. And you can do that at our newly created email, hallyuwavepodcast@gmail.com. So, all right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.